Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
How does the Arizona Cardinals, if they don't bring him in, how do you stay in the proper shape to be ready to actually go out there and perform right on the spot when they call you?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you ask Des Bryant that because he just joined us. Oh, okay. Des, how you doing?
Good. What's up, man? How you guys doing? I just finished working out. That's my bad.
No, good. Oh, that's a perfect segue. Sir. That's a perfect segue. Okay. So I don't know if you heard Antoine Walker. He was asking, you know, when he was on his, he said his last leg playing in the NBA, there was the G League, right? It was the D League when he played. And so he could go there and, you know, kind of stay in shape to get ready to get called up. So he was asking, how do you stay in shape to get ready to potentially play for, you know, an NFL team or come in and try out for an NFL team?
Man, if you ask me, I just think it got a lot to do with your mental, you know, and it also got a lot to do with the love, you know. Like for me, you know, I think I love football. I got a strong desire for it. And on top of that, you know, I like being in the locker room, you know. So, you know, some guys just got that gear shift and some guys, you know, just don't have that gear shift. And I know for me, you know, like I said, it's a passion of mine. I think I would be working out, you know, if I wasn't playing football, you know. But, but I also want to state, you know, just working out and doing football workouts are tremendously different. It's a totally different, you know, like you got to be there to get those mental reps. I think that's kind of that can be a physical fatigue, too, within itself, you know, especially if you're coming behind. You know, when these guys been starting like from now and then getting brought into like, you know, mini camp or training camp, because you still like Brandon to tell you, like, you gotta learn the playbook. You gotta learn all these nuances, you know, of just that particular team, because every team different. I think that can weigh on you too. So I don't know. It's just important, you know, hey, you know, to be right. Yeah.
You finna say something, dude? You wanna go first?
Just real quick, I just want to give a shout out to TMZ Sports for that interview with Des Bryant. And Des, in the interview, you said, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, right? And you said, yep, you like the locker room. But what specifically about that locker room? Is it Kyler Murray? Is it your relationship with DeAndre Hopkins? Like, why specifically do you want to play for the Arizona Cardinals?
I think it's just more so because of, yeah, it got a lot to do with everything you just said. You know, of course, DeAndre Hopkins, that's my boy. You know, we close. Kyler Murray, I love Kyler's swag. I love his confidence. Rondale Moore, Marquise Brown, you know, a lot of those guys I know on a personal level. And really mainly, you know, it's not to go there and try to be the Des Bryant that I was when I first got into the NFL. It's just really just more so just, you know, just helping guys, you know, facilitating, you know, being an example, you know, leading, you know, being an example of how to work hard, you know, how to do things on and off the field. You know, like, it's a lot of shit that I've been through that I know that I can help the next guy. And, you know, I've been doing that. I've been doing a tremendous job of it. So it's really just for those reasons.
With all that being said, you know, I'm vouching, you know, we saying Des want to go to AZ, Des should be in AZ. Now, do you think we should go ahead and push this now, so you can get your body back into the little tweaks and the tweaks? And when I'm far saying getting press off of press, you know what I mean? Getting back to going every day, because I know that's a big shock to the body If you ain't been going, then they just try to throw you in there. Then you get the hamstring injury and the little knick-knack injuries. Me personally, I say you'll be a great fit in the locker room because you can teach some of these guys the ropes and you can put them in position to win the games. The question they want to know is, hey, if we get this, can he help us out? You know what I mean? 6 weeks, at least till we get our main guy back or help out the locker room so they can play at a high level.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I really do think that if the Arizona Cardinals was to bring me in and give me that opportunity, you know, just to get my body right, get my mind right, you know, just follow their roadmap, you know, on how they do things. I do think that I would have a good shot, to help facilitate. Like I said, I'm not trying to come in just to be this main guy, whatever the case might be. That's not the case. It's really just more so just, you know, just understanding, you know, helping guys, you know, be prepared mentally, you know, days before the game. Because I think those things are important. Arizona got a lot of young guys over there, you know, and I'm not saying that they don't know how to approach the game, but it's always good listening to somebody who's done it before. And I really do believe that, you know, I have that type of experience, you know, to help those young guys because the ability those guys have over there is just crazy. You got Marquise Brown, speed demon, you know, got hands. I believe Marquise Brown has yet to get his true opportunity. I think he is one of the elites in his league. You got Rondell Moore. That's a baby. He's a pup. But guess what? He's a monster at the same time. You got AJ Green, you know, a vet just like I am, you know, and, you know, I feel like, and you got, of course, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, like, I just feel like just being a part of that locker room, you know, just help molding something special because they got all of the right pieces to be a potential Super Bowl contending team. So, you know, just being around an atmosphere like that, I'm just going to be real with you. I think that I would thrive. I would get better. Those guys would get me better. I just think that we will all make each other great, you know, and, you know, just, you know, help the Arizona Cardinals be, you know, help the Arizona Cardinals get to where they really want to go.
So let me ask you this, because I think sometimes we forget, you know, your legendary run, right? One, what made you special? Okay. Two, even now, you know, because like there's something that you can do on the field. And you said it, you're not going to be the Dez of old, you know what I mean? You're not trying to be. But there is something. You're the one that's training. You're the one out there running routes. If you guys want to see Dez run routes, go to his Instagram. He's been doing this for weeks now, right? So you're out there. You feel it. You know what you can and can't do. So two-part question. One, what made you special? And two, what do you still have left? Like for me, I knew at the end of my career, right, the last couple of years, I was going to give you 10-plus touchdowns because if we get in within the 15 yards and in, oh, it's a wrap. Don't come press me. Don't play one-on-one. Also, third down, third and medium, third and short. I can run a slant. I can move the chains. So talk to me about those two things.
Man, I think the first thing is I just got the desire, you know, and I love it. And me growing up, y'all know, you know, we from poverty. You know, this is all that we had. So this was, you know, this is what got us out. So I just think for, you know, just that part alone is what makes me special. You know, if that's, you know, if I'm answering your question correctly, it's just desire, the passion that I have for the game and, you know, that locker room. You know, it's a lot of them guys in there have walked the same shoes. But it's also a lot of those guys in there that don't take the proper steps. So, you know,
I wanted something on the field, Dez. I'm talking about, was it your stiff arm? Was it your jump ball? Was it your red zone? What was that one thing on the field? Man, I know I know exactly what you meant by the desire too, because that drives a lot. That is the main thing. But give me that one physical thing.
I think it's the IQ. I think it's the IQ of the game. You know, I think I'm very smart. Okay. You know, I think I know how to position my body in the right places. I feel like I read that DB very well, depending on, you know, I don't care what route it is. You know, I can make it look like I'm covered. But this is all just, you know, catch the ball the way I want to catch the ball. You know, I don't know if that's answering your question correctly, but I just think it's my IQ that separates me, you know, from a lot. I know how to time the ball very well. You know, I know when to jump and when not to jump. You know, I know how to make that DB, you know, think I'm doing this and doing that. You know, I play with my eyes. You know, the DB want to look at your eyes. I don't give things away. You know, like it's just so much, you know, that I feel like I have left to show. You know, I think it's the mental side that I still have that's strong, that can play a big part in, you know, being on the team and just really helping out the next individual who need it.
Who gave you more hell? Who gave you more hell, me or Dez Bryant?
See, what you don't know, I had a chance to work out with Dez. So I would have to go against his ass every day. Mm. The strongest part about Dez's game is he get every ball at a high point. And he was fucking jumping so high. But I would say, are you saying I had to pick the X?
You had to pick the X. Who's the X?
Oh, God. This conversation. Hey, Pac-Man, before you answer that question, this is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Dusable, with Adam Pac-Man Jones, Brandon Marshall, and Antoine Walker. And we're talking to Dez Bryant, who is vying to come and sign with the Arizona Cardinals, and not just for a little bit while DeAndre Hopkins is suspended. He wants to be a part of the team in the future and help with that locker room. But go ahead. Adam Pac-Man Jones says, Brandon Marshall wants to know who would be the X between him and Dez Bryant.
But before I say that, I was just thinking about something that Dez said about the mental part of the game, because that's one of the biggest parts. I had a chance to go to Pro Bowl and be all pro when I was 35 years old. 34 years old, I'm sorry. So everybody thought it wasn't in the tank, but mentally I knew how to stay in front of a receiver and make him do certain things that I wanted him to do. With going back to saying, I don't know, that's a hard question, but I would put it, who's the quarterback?
Yeah, don't be scared.
It don't mean who the quarterback. Answer the question. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
Hold on.
Tony Romo.
They still gonna be your
Tony
friend.
Romo. They still gonna be your friend, Pac-Man. I would say Brandon's the X.
Ooh. How does that make you feel, Dez?
No, it don't make me. You know, don't make me feel. You know,
the audio.
Yeah, we lose.
I want to go in motion to run that. You know, that bang gate. You know, and that's what the Z do. The Z get the going motion. You know, so and have fun.
But hey, Dez,
did you play Z?
No, I play X. My main position was X. But then they allowed me to play Z sometimes, but not as much as I would like.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
He was a little bit more crafted than you, B.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the Z, that's too much field to work. So, guys that's listening, X wide receiver is the guy that's backside to get to most of the one-on-ones. He's more like, you know, you know, move the chains type of guy, but he's also can give you big play as well. You know, Dez Bryant, you saw him take a slant 50, 60 yards for a touchdown, back shoulder. Is it a catch or not a catch? That play right there, right? You see that a lot from your ex. The Z receiver is like guys that can really, it's Hollywood Brown, right? Yep. Guy take the top off, right? Can do so much. He can, like Dez was saying, come motion down and run bang gates, spray out, come back in. Double moves, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like all that. That's too fancy.
Yeah.
Dez, real quick, you spoke highly about playing in Arizona. Is that the only team you'll play for, or are you just seeking to get back into the NFL?
Yeah, to me, that's the only team. You know, you know, maybe another team. Like, I would love to play for Brady. I would like to play for Brady. You know, not the Cowboys. I think they're young. I think they're young and strong, and they got exactly what they need. I'm a huge supporter of the Cowboys. Going to forever be that, you know. You know, I wear that star with pride. You know, I do bleed that blue. So, but as of right now, where I'm at in my career, it's the Arizona Cardinals. I like their makeup. You know, I love their coach. And I just feel like, you know, it's the right system. Yeah, put me in, coach, if you need me. Now, I ain't going to trip if I don't get in. But, you know, but I think what he'll see, you know, from Monday to Saturday is, you know, me – you know, just leading by example.
So right now they bring you in tomorrow to sign, offer you a deal for the league minimum. 1 out of 10, would you sign or not?
Yeah, I'll sign it.
All right. That's what we need to hear, baby.
Well, I don't understand why the Cowboys shouldn't be up there, man. Like, you are one of the faces of the franchise, like, ever. Yeah. Think about all the guys that came there. Jerry wants to sell more tickets. Jerry wants to sell more jerseys. Make it happen. I'm going with the Cowboys, man.
If the Cowboys gave me an opportunity, hell yeah, I'm gonna consider that. You know, just because. But I think just for the most part, I just think that, you know, you know how it is over there. Like,
Yeah.
You know, right. it's Hollywood. Yeah. You know, just got to keep it 1,000. So,
yeah. I got a question. If the Cowboys did offer you, would you want your 88 back from CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all, man. That's him. You know, that's him.
But it was you before him.
Why
you
but he messy, is not wearing dude. I ain't going to lie about that one. He ain't wearing like Dennis would. No.
I'm saying it was yours before his, Dennis.
Yeah. But, like, you know, when Jerry gave CD that number, you know what it was about. But,
yeah,
you know, Marshall. It was all about jersey sales and things like that. Like, come on, man. Like, the 88 me, the war before, you know, CD. Come on, man. Like, why not put him there? You know, it's to sell more jerseys, to put more seats, you know, put more butts in the seat. Yeah. Like, it only makes sense. And with CD being a great talent, like I said, like, it only makes sense for Jerry to do that, you know?
Yeah.
I would want, like, one or something. Give me one.
I hear that.
One. Hey, Corey, let me wear that 8.
I feel you. Well, Dez, we appreciate you coming on with us on I Am Athlete tonight.
Inside the Green Room with 3-time NBA champ Danny Green.
Joel's playing the playoffs, James playing the playoffs, knowing that they're making an emphasis here not to call as many fouls in the playoffs. They're going to change it even more. So they're going to let guys play even more. And the key is to, when it doesn't happen, get back on defense. But you got to get back. So we don't get the foul call, we don't make a shot, we can't let our offense dictate our defense. And that's the biggest thing, biggest change we need to grow in and mature on.
Don't miss an episode of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast.
Because we got young superstar Shakur Stevenson with us, boxing great, the future. So, Shady, you're a big boxing fan, right?
Yeah, yes, I am.
So you got to be stoked to have this interview, man.
Nah, listen, to keep it real with you, right? So when they told me he was coming on, I was off today.
Yeah, he was.
I said,
yeah.
Hold up. He on? Look, y'all got to mix that up. I got to get back in the mix to holler at my boy. How you doing today, man? You an Eagle fan?
I'm an Eagles fan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so
he should be a Jet fan. He's from New
Jersey.
Yeah,
I'm from Jersey, but I'm an Eagles fan. Like,
Philly right
I used
corner.
To mess with Mike Vick.
Yeah, the crew.
I used to mess with D. Jackson.
Okay.
Donovan McNabb. Like, I mess with you, all of them.
So he know the crew.
Yeah.
Well, how'd y'all meet? I never met him. I never met him yet. This is my first time really meeting him.
Hold on, Shady. You the guy. A Philly. You ain't never met the young fella?
He from Jersey. He from Newark. He from Newark.
I met him before.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, listen, I'm the biggest fan. I know everything about him. First of all, I know
everything. All right, let's see.
All right, so just want to talk about that night, that special night. Actually getting engaged, man, proposing, and a big win against Oscar Valdez. Talk about that.
Nah, it was a special night. I feel like it was, like, one of my favorite fights, one of my favorite celebrations. I was turned up. I felt good, you know. I felt like it was the right time. I'm in love, and, you know, just everything come to territory.
You know, that's dope you say that, man, you're in love, because when I really look at your career, right, you had a super crazy, dope amateur career, right, as a youngster, you know, balling out, and then now you come as professional. You're doing the same thing, and you're coming off to a fast track, a fast start, which most dudes, they be having 25, 30 fights and haven't really fought nobody,
right?
He's a different animal. Talk about that competitive nature of actually going out there and getting belts at 24, fighting the best and calling dudes out.
Like you said, like I'm competitive at the end of the day. If I know somebody the best, and if I know that they the best in the division, they number one or champion, like I got to go take them out. I got to go take their spot. Like that's something that I got to do personally. I can't be in boxing and take it real slow. And like at the end of the day, I'm 24 years old. I know all the greats like Sugar Ray Leonard and all of them guys, like what they was doing at 24 years old. So I want to follow in the same footsteps and try to out compete with them. So at the end of the day, I got to fight the best of the best and prove myself over and over again. Like I'm taking down names at the end of the day. Any name it is, line them up. I'm ready to fight.
That's the problem, I think, right? It's my opinion. I think when I watch a lot of these guys, man, they get so much hype until you break them down. Who haven't they fought, right? Everybody wants to duck each other. I don't know if it's the Floyd Mayweather effect, you know, being the only guy that's undefeated, you know what I'm saying, our heirs. And now it's changed when guys don't want to fight each other. But Shakur, he's different. I see the guys, he handpicks, I want you. And you call guys out. I see that in 130, I can see you easily taking over that division, easy. But to move up to 135, he would be my favorite to take that division. How you feel about moving up and going against some of them top contenders? Because that's probably the biggest.
And who do we have at 135?
You got Ryan Garcia. Mm. You got Tank.
Yeah. Hold on. That 135 is a big difference, brother.
I don't know about that.
I think 135 is a big difference. That's what I think. That's just my opinion.
I respect your opinion, but, you know, at the end of the day, I done been in there with all them same dudes that you name.
All right, let me ask you one question right now.
I done been in there with them.
Let me ask you one question. Right now, at the 135, who you want? Who ass you want to whoop right now? If you could pick one ass right now that you can whoop, who is it?
All of them.
Pick one.
You gotta pick one.
I want you and Tank Davis.
That's the fight.
That's the fight.
That'd be a great fight.
Bro, you really ready for Tank?
What?
Hey, this is crazy.
Hey, look, I know Tank. Tank got a lot of power. Now, hold on. Let me say this. Let me go back because I ain't get a chance to congratulate you like I wanted to because. It ain't hard. I mean, it ain't easy to do what the hell you just did. You get what I'm saying? And I got a two-part question. So my first is, like, what's the feeling of starting off the boxing journey, being an Olympic medalist, and to just having all three belts? Like, tell me that because you really got shorted. You know what I mean? I thought you should have, come on, in the Olympics. But
man,
it's a good feeling being an Olympian and all that. Like, even like when you talk about like all them dudes at like 135, like none of them ain't take that route. Like they all just went straight pro and, you know, like it's a different route. Like I feel like with my route, it was like a harder route where you gotta go fight the best of the best all over the world and then come back and then come to the pros and take over the program. So I just feel like the route that I took is like with the route the greats took. Like when you talk about Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard, Ali, all these dudes, they done went to the Olympics and won medals and then come back and became some of the greatest professional boxers. So I feel like that's the route that I'm taking already. But like I said, I feel like when it comes down to it, I feel like me, at any way, I could beat anybody. I feel like I done been in the ring with everybody that y'all can think of and name. Like I done been in the ring with the best at 140. I done been in the ring with the best at 147. So at the end of the day, like moving up a different weight class, and then it's only 135. Like that ain't gonna be nothing different for me. Like I feel like that's gonna be regular. I feel like I'm gonna just take over how I take over. That's just who I am.
Let me ask him one more. Hey, look, I know your upbringing, being the oldest of you, it's nine of y'all, I think, and you're the oldest of nine. Like that had to have some kind of impact of why you're a dog. You know, I got my story. How's that been the oldest, setting example for all your brothers and sisters? Now they see that you the man, you the best in the world right now. They talk about you and Earl Spence as being the best right now, pound for pound, because the belts that you guys have. So like,
that's definitely what made me who I am. You gotta realize, like, being the oldest of nine, like my brothers and sisters is wild. So like, I can't come home with a loss. I know for a fact that I'm gonna have to hear their mouth. Like we get in an argument, it's always gonna come down to, well, oh, you ain't do that to such and such, or you ain't do this to such and such. So like I don't know, I just can't have a loss on my record because it don't feel good coming home to my brothers and sisters and having them talk shit to me. So we just got like a different type of bond, but it definitely made me a lot stronger. Like it made me a lot more competitive when it come down to it.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my three teammates, LaShawn Shady McCoy, Brandon Marshall, and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And we're talking to young superstar Shakur Stevenson, WBO and WBC super featherweight champion. LaShawn, I know you had a few more questions for him.
We will have to extend this, too. You might have to come back for the next block so we can really dive in. But go ahead, Shady.
No, something about, like, greatness that I think as players, we've been on that level and we've seen it. And when you fight other champions, right? I know we talk about the 135 division, a lot of great fighters over there. But the difference when I watch you fight is you make it look effortless like Floyd Mayweather used to do. Guys supposed to be so great. You beat him so easily. When you watch that fight against Oscar Valdez, first of all, Oscar Valdez is a good fighter, bro.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's a beast. And when I watch you fight him, bro, you got a style more like Floyd style, like Andre Ward, to take whatever they do best and take it away. Can you speak about that, man? Like the skill set that you have, you display last fight against Oscar Valdez.
Yeah, most definitely. I ain't gonna lie. Like I watch a lot of Floyd. I watch a lot of Andre Ward. I watch a lot of Pernell Whitaker.
You can see,
like,
yeah.
The style that we got is like a dominant style. Like, we don't, it's hard to give anybody rounds when it comes to us because we so dominant. We go in these fights, we make it look easy. And like, my main thing is I like to dominate. I don't like putting fights in judges' hands. I don't want no judge to ever look at no fight and be like, okay, well, this is a close one. This, that, and the third. Like, we watch these other dudes, they get in fights. It's like, sometimes they be like, this, I ain't trying to make no fight like that. I'd rather be dominant and win every round that I could. And then after the fight, you see how confident I am. And I know where the fight going to go because it's like, I just won clearly. Like, I ain't had no close fight. So at the end of the day, that's just my style. That's just who I am. I'm a dominant personality. Like, I'm a dominant person. So I got to be dominant when it comes down to it. I got to be dominant in this sport. I don't want to be no fighter having close fights and somebody rob me or anything like that. I don't want to leave it in no judge's hands.
See, Pac, real quick. That's how I can, like, kind of judge them all, because when I watch them, like Devin Haney, he's pretty good. Devin Haney's pretty good. You look at all the other guys with Tank. When they have their fights, they win, but it's not, like, dominant. Shakur dominates these dudes.
Tank ain't dominant?
Nah, you are.
Tank is dominating.
But Tank ain't
fighting. Some people said he almost lost that last fight.
That dude, nobody knows that guy.
You can't lose fight with power.
But I'm just think that.
And I'm a fan of both of this.
But the
coach said you can't lose a fight with power?
Huh?
I shouldn't say that because you're more skilled than Tank. I will say that. We had this conversation earlier.
Better competition, too. Please put that in there.
Come on now. I ain't going to say that.
Tank, I love you.
Oh, Tank's nice.
I'm not going to let you say it.
Anyway, but so real quick, like, you talked about the Floyd Mayweather, like, style, right? And Andre Ward. Did you looked up to Floyd? Is that correct?
You said that I what?
Did you look up to him?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. I seen that. I read some stuff that I guess you guys was thinking about signing to Floyd, but you didn't. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because a dude like him who's done it for so long, he's put Javonte Davis in the best situation. If you look at his career and the things he's doing, why didn't you sign with Floyd? I'm just curious.
Nah, it just was, at the time it was business. And at the end of the day, I just felt like the better move was like with who I went with. I felt like they was the better type of people to go with. I feel like they had TV at the time. With Javonte, it's like, he's already like a star, but even like Floyd built him to be a star, but he was already going to be like a star. And I ain't know like too many other people in like the Floyd stable that was really like doing anything crazy besides him. So it was like, I knew with like Top Rank, they had like a bunch of different people from Terrence Crawford to Lomachenko.
Right, and they
had like a bunch of different fighters where they was giving them TV time. So at the time it just made sense business wise, but I definitely like look up to Floyd. I know Floyd is like one of the best fighters ever. And he got a great company.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're talking to boxing superstar Shakur Stevenson, who is the WBO and WBC super featherweight champion. I know, Shady, you had a few more questions for Shakur, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and let you ask away.
One of my bigger questions I wanted to ask you was, you talked about Floyd and how you looked up to him. And when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, he came on the scene. He was nice. He fought a lot of hard fights and got it going. And then when he came Money May, that's when he like took over boxing, right?
Yeah.
The difference between y'all, you 24, and I can see you doing it. I can see you taking over boxing. You got the look, the personality, you got the amateur background, and now you have the fights to prove that. What do you think is next, man, to take over boxing, to be the face of boxing?
I think what's next probably going to be take over the 135 division. I feel like that's the most talked about division in boxing. So I feel like once I get there and I take it over, I feel like people ain't going to have nothing else to say. Like, they going to probably look for something to say, but I feel like I'm going to be the man at the division. I'm going to fight the best fights that I can. You know, a lot of people probably going to try to run away with politics and all that kind of stuff, but I'm ready to fight whoever, whenever. And once I get there, I feel like I'm going to make my mark.
Right. I agree with you. I truly do. I think you have a lot of help, man. But guys like Terrence Crawford, you always give him a lot of praise. He talks about how when you guys spar and helping you out, and he's probably one of the best in the game. He's pound for pound, what, top one, top two, depending how you look at it. And then guys like Lemachenko, I know you spar him when you were younger. And now that you guys are, you're older, right? And he's a guy that can be on your resume, possibly beaten. Talk about that. Talk about like these experiences with these guys, from sparring guys like Lemachenko and sparring a lot of guys in the 135 division and actually, you know,
I feel like that's a lot like where my confidence comes from, because I realize I done been in the ring with every one of them. Like, you name any of them that come to mind, I feel like I done been in the ring with them, from Ryan, Devin, Tank, Lemachenko. I feel like I've been in the ring with everybody. So at the end of the day, that's a lot where, like, I know how good I am. I know, like, where I fit in, how good I am when it comes to them, or how good I am when I get to that division. So at the end of the day, I got to fight the big fights, you know. Lemachenko is definitely probably going to be one of my first fights at that weight. And, you know, he's one of the boogeymen. A lot of people don't want to fight no Lemachenko. So I ain't scared of
him. True. A lot of guys want to fight him, but he will.
Well, you sparred with him, didn't you?
Yeah, I sparred when I helped him get ready for the Rigondeaux fight when I was like 5-0.
How did that go? What you learn from that? Who won, too?
Nah, you know, I don't, we got to keep sparring in the gym, but I will say this, like.
Right.
The first time we sparred, we only did 4 rounds, but he probably didn't realize how good I was. And then the next couple of sparring sessions, he only sparred me. Like, me and him did 12 rounds straight, and we did rounds and rounds. So I had earned his respect, I'll tell you that, but I don't speak on, like.
You was younger too, though. Tell him, make sure everybody knows this. Now, all the viewers, he was younger when he fought Lemachenko, when he sparred him, right?
Yeah, I was like 19, 20, one of them.
Real young, right?
Man, he's 19 years old. Lemachenko's 34 right now.
Yeah, but like I said, I still don't speak on sparring. I'm a bad motherfucker no matter who I get in the ring at the end of the day, but I don't speak on what happened in sparring.
Well, Evan, let's bring in Evan, one of our producers here. Evan.
What's going on, Shakur? Shakur, big fan, man. Honestly, I think what you've been able to do in such a short time is incredibly impressive. Look, we had a conversation with Oscar De La Hoya once a couple years ago. He thinks that he could ultimately get Ryan Garcia a $700 million contract. I think you've got more potential. I love Ryan Garcia. I think he's great. I think you've got a higher ceiling than Ryan Garcia.
For sure.
Does that cross your mind? Do you think that you can lock up a $700 million contract? And how do you get there?
You know, at the end of the day, I pray that I could get to something like that, but I'm black, so, like, you know, it's kind of, like, a little bit different.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, with us, you know, like, it's a whole different story. They love him. He don't even got a fight, and they got him doing a whole bunch of, you know, commercials and whatever. So, I just feel like it's a difference, but I feel like I just got to keep fighting the big fights. And maybe whenever he do get that $700 million contract, me and him could get in the ring again.
Yeah.
Fight for $700 million or something like that.
Like that.
That's how I look at it at the end of the day.
So speaking of like Oscar, like when you were growing up, like who is your influence? Like who do you model your game after? Like who's the guy that you were like, that's why I want to be a fighter. Who is that to you?
It was Floyd. Floyd was so dominant. He took over boxing. Like he was one of the best skillful boxers ever. Like he one of the smartest boxers ever. So I feel like when I used to watch him, I used to be like, I want to be like Floyd, like person who, you know, dominate how I'm doing it in my fashion. So definitely Floyd Mayweather.
So Floyd fought Logan Paul, right? That was a big deal. He made a lot of money doing it. Smart businessman. His brother, Jake Paul, everyone's talking about Jake. Jake thinks he's a serious boxer. I'm curious what you think about Jake's boxing. So you think he's a real boxer?
I mean, he's better than like what people think of him. Like people don't understand that he's picking up on boxing quickly. So a lot of people think that they could just get in the ring with him and beat him. And nah, he actually train and do full training camp. So I give him his respect on him. I think that he's a, you know, decent for like how he started off. So
how long would he last in the ring with you? You guys in the ring, you and Jake Paul, both rings. How long does he last?
Be true.
Nah, Jake Paul can't
be honest.
Jake Paul can't beat me at all. That's a whole different.
Does he get out of round three?
I don't see him getting out of round three. But at the end of the day, you know, he's good for boxing, man.
Would you take that fight? Like where you're at in your career right now? Obviously, Floyd, you know, he's doing a lot, some exhibition fights. Do you see yourself doing anything like this anytime soon?
Nah, I ain't taking no fight with Jake Paul. Maybe when my career over with, but like right now I'm in like meaningful fights where it's like, you know, I'm fighting for belts and all this kind of stuff that I'm trying to prove that I'm the best in the sport of boxing. I don't feel like fighting a Jake Paul is going to prove like that I'm the best in the sport. So
I got another question for you. You are, you know, like I said, you're becoming a big superstar, right? You got superstars coming to your fights, watching you fight. I saw Ezekiel Elliott was in the audience, Canelo Alvarez sitting ringside, all these people. I've interviewed a lot of fighters over the years, and a lot of people tell me the same thing. As their fame level grows, as they get more famous, it's crazy to me. People try them in the streets. It's almost like the more famous you get as a fighter, the more people want to like try to prove their own, you know, toughness by like trying these fighters. Has that happened to you? And like, how do you walk away from somebody that's like trying you in the street?
You know, like it happened to me, but I gotta be real. Like I ain't no dummy. Like I ain't trying to pay nobody a lot of money just cause I'm getting sued by them. So I try to avoid all that altercation. I ain't trying to go to that level unless I got to. If it come down to something like my family, my daughter, my wife, or however it go, like then we could get to like action. But I ain't messing with nobody or somebody mess with me. I'm walking away because, you know, people like to sue you. Like I ain't paying that money. I ain't trying to get sued.
Smart. Hey, Shakur, hey, real quick, my last question for you. All right, so now that you starting to get out there, everybody know who you are, right? Give me three names. I won't put you on the spot and give you one name, but just give me three names of who you're looking to fight next.
Fight next? I see maybe a Lomachenko in my future in the next three fights. Who else I see? Maybe Devin Haney and the Haney and Kibosis. Yeah, maybe Devin Haney and the Kibosis. I could see that happening, but Devin talking about going to like 140 real soon, so I don't know if he's going to stay at 135 for as long as I'm there.
Got it before you get up there. I'm telling you that right now.
All right, I got one more question before I go. Why not fight Tank at 135?
Tank ain't gonna fight him, man. He not gonna fight him.
You gotta realize with Tank, he on that other side where he gonna, you know.
Act take like on the cupcakes. Alex, say it.
Man, I'm quite sure.
You're saying he don't want to put that record up.
Look,
Shady, I know Tank. I know Tank, Shady.
I know Tank.
Yeah, let him talk. Go ahead.
Hey, I know Tank too, and I know for a fact at the end of the day, like he is not jumping into no fight with me. Like that's a whole different type of atmosphere. That's not like fighting. I'm saying.
So basically, you telling me Tank's scared?
I ain't gonna say the man's scared. I'm just saying for a fact. So what I you know saying? He not jumping in the ring with me.
We all right, Tank, Tank, you got to hear this. It's done got real messy over here, Tank. Man. They saying you scared to fight the champ. I'm just telling you.
Funny, man. Hey, this is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doolsbull, with my teammates.
Hey, look, I'm down to fight anybody, though. So
they say Tank put insurance on his money. Oh, my God.
Hey, big brother.
I love it, champ. I love it.
If you want to set it up, I'm with it. You know, you want to set it up.
Belt. Come on, we'll stop. He your age. Bob Bosa is your age. Pack me like 40. He's 39, 40. This dude fighting real champions that's like young and active and young and talented. Them dudes is old.
All right, so tell me how you read it. Isaiah
Cruz, who is that dude? He's
Shady,
like,
can I ask you one question? I want you to talk to Tank right now. I want you to be.
What you mean? Listen, Tank.
Hold on.
Train right here when we shoot the studio.
Bro, can I finish what I was saying, bro? Let me say one thing.
Real champions. He fight dudes.
Let me say one thing, please.
Resumes,
brother. Fact, man. Go ahead.
Brother, I want you to spit your spiel because you talk really good on TV.
I do.
I want you to spit your spiel and tell Tank. Hey, look, my boy, he said he'll fight whoever. You got the belt. You got two belts. I move up and fight you. So go ahead. Let me hear it, dollar.
Okay, I would ask like this. I would say, I think Tate Davis is a super talented fighter, right? All I ask myself and a lot of viewers, right? I don't know if it's Floyd, you know, in the promotion that's not giving you the best competition. We just want to know, why your resume? Why you not fighting the top guys out there? That's what we all want to know. I ain't saying nothing that the world ain't asking, right? For you to have such a big, right? He's small on a pound for pound list because he not fighting no competition.
Shakur can do nothing but laugh at that
because he know I'm telling the truth. Come on, man.
But Tank is
nice though. I'm not saying not nice.
I'll take a fight, man. I ain't saying he can't fight. I'm just telling you.
He definitely can fight.
Yeah, it's a different level of them dudes that he fighting and then getting in the ring with somebody like me. Like I'm
that's a whole
different beach.
Man, I don't hate to say this, but it sounds like y'all calling Tank.
Nah, you
said that. That's what it sound like, though. Nah, it sound like that. In the locker room, Brandon. In the locker room, what that sound like, Brandon? Come on, bro. Well, you know, Tank is good, but Tank don't want to fight nobody like me.
I got a question for you.
Make sure y'all tap in on Showtime. Pay-per-view.
Nah, take a fight, man. I ain't saying I'm just letting you know.
He not pussy. He far from that.
Yeah, you was asking me about Tank, and I'm just letting you know personally that I feel like, you know, I'm on a different level.
You think Tank scared of you. I respect that.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. We just had superstar boxer Shakur Stevenson. We really appreciate you stopping by and talking with me and my teammates, LaShawn Shady McCoy, Brandon Marshall, and also Adam Pac-Man Jones.
You never know who'll step inside the green room with Danny Green.
One of the premier bus drivers of the 90s, one Mr. Charles Barkley.
Listen, Kevin Durant's a terrific player, but he had a chance to be the bus driver, and he's never won a championship when he wasn't one of the other guys. And I was just trying to make the point, hey, you don't get to make excuses when you don't win. That's just the way it is.
Listen, subscribe, and review Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on Stitcher, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Antonio Brown was out here talking crazy about Colin Kaepernick, right? He did an interview with Cigar Talk podcast, and that was hosted by Najee. And we're going to play that audio for you and tell you what Antonio Brown said.
I don't want to play, man. He was trash, everything.
He was trash? I don't know about trash. He was all right. Come on, AB.
Man, listen, man.
He was all right, AB.
Kaepernick did all that and took the money and then got the commercials. We don't see Kaepernick outside. Where he at? I ain't never seen him outside.
I never seen him outside.
All right, so, like, don't even say
it. I see him throwing the ball, trying to get back in, though.
But he already took the money. Oh, that's cap. Like, we ain't respecting that, bro. You took the money, the commercials. Yeah. We don't see you outside. We don't see him in the hood. He don't do nothing. Like, we cool, but nah, we ain't even saying Kaepernick. He not even from the hood. He don't even been in the trenches.
Yeah.
Like, we like Kaepernick and all, but, like, we ain't really on that. So, as black people, we need to get that clear. Because, like, when we have moments, ain't nobody giving us no nothing. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
He took the hand out, so he got to take the man route and, like, take responsibility for that. Right. We ain't saying all that. What he did for, like, what he did. He built a like, a foundation. What we saying? What
foundation, I think.
What it do, though? Nah, I'm being real, man. We still got to talk.
We got to talk.
Man, like,
I'm not going to lie.
Superhero he enforced? He made somebody, like, who he put on? Who
I feel like helped. Undercover, he be like tossing money.
But why he undercover though?
Right, I don't know. You right about that? I don't
know. Yeah, we need to get some straight, man.
Now, Colin Kaepernick has done a lot in the community. I know he started the Know Your Rights camp and has donated over $1 million to various charities, one being Meals on Wheels and Justice League. But what Antonio Brown said today in the video was quoted, you know, quote tweeted by, you know, a few professional athletes, one being Michael Thomas, the wide receiver from the New Orleans Saints, who said that he's not wrong, speaking about what Antonio Brown did. Now, I was in the locker room when Colin Kaepernick, you know, decided to take the knee to bring awareness around social injustice and police brutality. And when that was going on, a lot of people in the locker room, when Colin Kaepernick essentially was blackballed from the NFL, felt that Colin Kaepernick, you know, actually benefited from doing that. Right now, he wasn't able to play the game of football like he wanted to, but he got the deal from Nike, right? He got the Netflix series. So a lot of people in the locker room felt like Colin Kaepernick really benefited from that. Now, I don't agree with Antonio Brown saying, what has he done? I mean, it's been documented, well documented, what Colin Kaepernick has done. But there were a lot of people in the locker room that felt that he also benefited from that. So I'm going to bring my teammates in on this discussion. Brandon Marshall, I know you did an interview with both Colin Kaepernick and Antonio Brown. What do you make of this?
Colin Kaepernick, if he isn't already, will be in the National Museum of African-American History and Culture.
100%. Okay?
When you think about the civil rights leaders, when it's all said and done, Colin Kaepernick will sit alongside of Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, John Lewis, W.E.B. Du Bois, Stokely Carmichael, Ella Baker, A. Philip Randolph, Thurgood Marshall, so many others, Malcolm X, James Farmer, Ruby Bridges, and I can go on and on and on. That's Colin Kaepernick's mark, right? When we sat down with Colin a couple weeks ago, you know, he talked about his journey, he talked about his process. In the beginning, Cap didn't have a plan. And to me, that's the best thing about it. It's the most beautiful thing about what he did is that he saw something, he felt something, and then he took a knee. Okay. And then he tried to figure out what to do next. And that was the problem. That's where the disconnect between Cap and the players are.
Yeah.
Because in 2016, we all were in a league at that time.
Yeah.
In 2016, we were like, what's the plan?
Exactly. Well, I remember Cap, those conversations.
Cap
in the locker
didn't
room.
Have a plan. Yeah. Cap didn't think this was going to turn into all of this. Mm-hmm. Cap afterwards had to start putting the plan together. He just said, I just don't believe in this. That's it. He never thought he was going to be a civil rights leader. He never thought that, that wasn't the plan to be in a museum.
Yeah.
He said, I just don't believe in that. And that's when you know it's pure and it's real. There's no intention. There's no motives. Right. So, you named a lot of things that he has done. I mean, since my time, I haven't seen Cap since 2015. And so a couple of weeks ago was the first time I saw him since then. And when he came, I said, what are you trying to accomplish? So I wanted to play football. I said, OK, I love what you're doing. Then now all only thing you have to do is tell your story, because for the last 4 or 5 years, everybody's been telling your story. We need to hear from you. But there's so much at stake. He knows that the bigger picture is what he's already doing. Everything is not always for the film. Everything's not always for the show and for everybody to see. Since then, I've been talking to him and I'll be like, where are you at this weekend? Well, I'm in Vegas this weekend because, you know, the Know Your Rights camp, we got about 50 people showing up and I'm teaching them the rights. We don't have to know.
It's always about moving. Putting it out there on social media.
Correct. There's 20 different things that Cap has done. So what AB is saying, I think it's just a miscommunication. It's a disconnect because there wasn't a plan initially. And so we go back to that and he's right. Cap hasn't done a lot of sit downs and talks. Hell, we were one of the first to get that type of sit down with Cap.
Yeah,
you can watch that on YouTube. I Am Athlete. All right. But moving forward, I just think it's nonsense to say that this dude doesn't have a huge place in the black, just American history. Forget black, just American history.
I like the word you use, the miscommunication, right? Because I didn't know he did all these different things and he gave money to all these different charities. And I had talked with guys that's playing now in a locker room. They said the same thing AB said. It was like, what is he doing to even give back to the players that actually knelt and they don't have jobs? I mean, he's benefiting off Netflix, Nike. And I'm like, what do you expect him to do? You know, like, do you think he'll give all the players a meal that sat out? It's like, no, Cat was the first one to take a knee by himself. Yeah. We were all in the league, bro. Even though I love equality, I'm about equality, but I didn't think to get on a knee and say my whole football career can be taken at any second. Yeah. He was the first one to do that, you know? And just like you said, he was willing to accept whatever outcome came from that.
Right.
So the fact that he led a whole movement and he will be an African-American museum, I think he deserves everything and all these accolades that he is getting. And I just think AB just didn't do his research. Yeah. He didn't know. And the thing is, if you broadcast everything you do, people think you're doing it for attention. Mm. But when you don't broadcast it, they don't know and they don't think you're doing anything. So, like you said, it's just a miscommunication, man. I love what Cap doing.
And here's the thing, too, because Cap, to your last point, talk about broadcasting everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when we sat down with them, he said, well, they said that I would be a distraction, right? Because I'm still a football player. I still want to play ball. So one of the reasons why I haven't said much is because I wanted to show them that I wouldn't be a distraction.
Yeah. Oh,
good point.
And now he's saying, okay, well, now I showed that. Now I'm ready to play. So now I'm going to get up and I'm going to start controlling my own narrative. That's why you see Cap flying around, throwing to different receivers and also talking just a little bit more.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that. That's actually a perfect segue. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Duzable, with my two teammates, Brandon Marshall and Brandon Flowers. And Brandon, you talked about Cap.
Brandon who?
Brandon Marshall. That's right. Okay. We got two Brandons. Brandon Marshall. I have to specify that. You talked about Cap not wanting to really broadcast everything because he wanted to show GMs that he's not a distraction, right? So, you know, you guys like to play, let's play a GM, right? In this situation, yeah, you like that. It's perfect segue, like that. Right?
Well, then we got the actor here. Yeah. So you got to go into role, go exactly. into character too. Hold on, get into character.
You guys are both going to be a GM, and I'm going to go ahead and put a scenario in front of you. You got Antonio Brown, who most likely will be a Hall of Famer by the numbers. And you got Colin Kaepernick. Which guy are you bringing in first to on your team?
Woo. All right, so I'm going to go on the character. You ready?
Go ahead.
What's my name as the
I'm going to give you a general manager. General manager name. Brandon Wilshire.
Brandon Wilshire. So I'm going to sit down with AB and I'm going to say, I'll be honest. I love AB. Sat down with him. He blessed our show. And that's a big deal. You know, so I want to say that's a big deal for us to be early in our career, building out this platform and getting our athletes to come to us first. Correct. Right. And so I appreciate that. But the reality is, I don't think that AB will play again.
Honestly.
Yeah. I don't think he'll play again. It's just tough, man. Like, it's just how things have transpired since. Since he took off his shirt, his jersey and all of that in MetLife Stadium. That's a tough situation at this phase of his career. So now I'm a general manager. I sit down with Cap and I did this on YouTube. So I'm going to Cap. Yeah. I'm going to say, let me get into character again. Cap.
Yes.
It's been 5 years.
It has. But I've been working, coach, and I'm ready. I've been ready. I just need an opportunity.
Okay. Well, what makes you special?
I think my play on the field shows that I can be a special player in the NFL. I led a team to the Super Bowl, right? My teammates love me. If you've heard all of my ex-coaches, I haven't been a distraction everywhere I went. I've been a great leader, a guy that guys can rally around. So I think I could come in, you know, if you give me the opportunity and show you that I still could be a starting quarterback on your team. And if I can't be the starting quarterback, I damn sure could be the backup.
Yeah, you're probably right, Cap, and I'm excited about this conversation and potentially working you out and then bringing you in, because when you think about, you know, the NFL today, these quarterbacks got to be dual threat.
Yeah, and you know that's what I do.
I love that. I love that confidence. That's what I do. So the last thing I have for you, Cap, is this.
Yeah.
And my name is General Manager Brandon Wilshire, is what you
Wilshire.
Getting? Wilshire. Yeah. Mr. Will, GM Wilshire. I asked Cap this. Breaking character, now getting back into character. How do I know you're not going to be a distraction?
Well, all you got to do is ask my coaches, right? Chip Kelly, you know, you could ask him about, you know, my character and what I brought. I was never a distraction when it came to the locker room or on the field, right? Ask my coach Harbaugh, you know, he'll tell you about my leadership skills and what I brought to a locker room and how I wasn't a distraction when it came to specifically football and on the field and in the locker room. I mean, it's well documented, right? This guy wouldn't have had me at the Michigan, you know, spring game throwing for NFL scouts if I had burned that bridge, right? So I was never truly a distraction in the locker room. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, if anything, what does Colin Kaepernick bring to the team, right? He's, you know, Nike, what the evaluation went up $6 billion once they brought me on, right? So you talk about, you know, you may be worried about certain fans not showing up for the game, but it didn't seem to hurt Nike. So I don't think it'll hurt your team as well.
Ooh.
I think you need
to be the spokesperson.
So now you're the GM.
Okay. So
if you had a choice between one of the two, Colin Kaepernick, Antonio Brown, which guy would you bring in first?
See, I have to sit both of them down, right? Because as a general manager, I'm about winning. Yeah. Right. And both of them, you can win with those guys.
100%.
The Bucks would have won a Super Bowl, I feel, last year if AB would have played, because Tom Brady would have had his weapons. He'd have somebody to go to, like he would have made it happen. That. Right.
Yeah.
And Cap, he a dual threat. Like how you said, he can run. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback, but some people just got that it factor, you know, like he just makes stuff happen with the ball. So I want to sit both of them down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna have to talk to AB as a general manager, and I'm gonna have to talk to Cap, because there's some interesting things said online with AB that would make me might want to bring him in.
Like, such as?
I'm gonna get to it.
Okay. I'm excited to hear this.
So what's my last name? I'm Brandon who?
Let's give you Brandon
Thompson.
Thompson.
All right, I'm Brandon Thompson. Antonio, how you doing, buddy? You're looking good. You're looking in shape there. I mean, I love you. Hell, I jump on this desk for you any day. But everybody in the building don't love you, all right?
Why, coach? Business is booming.
I mean, you're booming just a little bit too much in New York. I mean, hell, I like it. I like the way you're ripped, man. Hell, I turned the TV up. Well,
you know I can hear you. Work, coach. You know I put this work in.
Yeah, but everybody don't love you. But I have one question for you.
What is it, coach?
Your guy who you sit courtside with told us they'll pay us $20 million, okay? If you get into any trouble, they'll pay us $20 million.
Yeah.
I might be willing to take that offer if you're up for it. If you can put that in a contract and say, you will give me $20 million. If I have any hiccups with you, I'll be on board to go ahead and...
Well, you know, coach, we got to get the lawyers involved and everything, because I got to make sure that, you know, that the paperwork is right, because what you mean by trouble, that can go so many different ways. I need to know what that exactly means.
I mean, late to meetings, missing meetings, anything.
I mean, coach, I could have car trouble. I mean, I think it should be legal trouble. If I don't get any legal trouble, I think we should be good.
Well, I mean, you're not in a position to negotiate. I mean, we're in a position, and I told you, hell, I love you, Antonio, but I mean, I got somebody I have to talk to, and this is a community in this building, all right? So these are different guys I got to get on page here. Oh, I mean, hell, man. I'm on your side, man, but just for everybody else, I mean.
That's how they beat you. Yeah.
You the only one that don't like me in here, bro.
Hey, like, Thompson, Brandon Thompson.
Oscar. But it'll be interesting to see if either one of these guys gets another opportunity. I know Colin Kaepernick was out here at I Am Athlete, and he was training and he looked good. So it'll be interesting to see, because their damn sure is a 96 quarterbacks better than him right now. And we know what Antonio Brown brings to the field. Again, by his numbers alone, he's a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer at the wide receiver position. But, you know, some of the things that have happened off the field. And to Brandon Marshall's point, he thinks that was the line in the sand, at MetLife when he took his jersey off and threw it into the crowd. So.
Want more I Am Athlete tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 and 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.